Hey, glad you can make it. And welcome to the Employee Cycle Podcast, where we talk to HR innovators, thought leaders, and even some disruptors about the latest in HR trends, HR tech, and you guessed it, HR data. Well, you've heard enough of me talking. Now let's start the show.
Hey, hey, and welcome back to the Employee Cycle Podcast. I'm your host, Bruce Marable, CEO of Employee Cycle. And you know us, we are your people dashboard for small and medium companies. That's right. We know all you HR and people leaders out there hate that manual, painful, tedious process of pulling spreadsheet after spreadsheet from all your different HR systems, going into your HRIS, ATS, engagement platform, performance, and pulling all those spreadsheets, looking to turn that into something manageable. But we know that there's a better way, which is why we built it. And so go to employeecycle.com and learn how we have pre-built API connectors to the best-in-breed systems that you love, like Bamboo HR, Namely, Sapling, Zenefits, Greenhouse, 15.5, Glassdoor, to be able to automate your HR reporting and analytics by bringing all that data into one real-time dashboard for you. But that's enough about me and Employee Cycle, because today we have a great guest. So please help me welcome to the show Jennifer Mefford, VP of People and Culture at MetroStar Systems. And today we're going to discuss how to transform department managers into employee coaches. Jennifer, welcome to the podcast.
Woo! Jennifer, welcome!
Thank you, Bruce. I was waiting for that audience background to pipe in.
Oh, of course. Of course. I mean, they're so excited that you're here. They just couldn't control themselves. I kept saying, wait for it. It's going to come. So thank you so much for participating on the show. And I'm so ready to have a great conversation. But for everyone who has ever listened to our podcast before, they know how we kick this thing off. And that's by asking you, how did you end up in the wonderful world of HR?
Such a great question. And I feel like it's a winding story for every person who is in the seat. So for myself, I started out thinking I was going to be on CNN. I majored in production and political science in my undergrad, and then decided to pursue the Peace Corps. And when I was in Peace Corps, I worked in schools. So working in schools and with the Ministry of Education in Antigua, actually in the Caribbean, it was where I kind of cut my teeth on development. And through that experience, I came back to the States, got my MBA because I wanted to complement it with my field experience with some business acumen, and then got an internship and ultimately a job in capacity building was the terminology at the time in the late aughts. And capacity building was kind of translated into leadership development. And then I had a number of jobs in that regard that led to employee engagement, manager development, length of service, rewards and recognition. So I kind of started getting exposure to all aspects of HR and never really having the traditional HR background or even thought of that being my future. So I ultimately got recruited at Deloitte, and as a human capital consultant was consulting with the federal government, where again, I got to build upon that broad spectrum of human capital aspects. And that allowed me to feel like I was not super specialized, but I had exposure and an understanding of various systems, of various challenges that not only a HR shop would face, but an organization as a whole. And so ultimately found my way here.
Nice. Thanks for that background info. By the way, I know you didn't make it to CNN, but hopefully this podcast will give you some experience to talk to the world and spread your message to the masses.
Yeah. You'll have to give me some feedback on how I do.
Sure. Absolutely. So today we're talking about how to transform department managers into employee coaches. And I think it's important to first discuss and get your opinion on what do you believe is the typical manager-employee relationship today?
It's a spectrum, but I would say typical, I think that there is misaligned expectations. some, just like in a relationship, oftentimes one party might expect the other to be all things to them. I think sometimes there is an expectation on the employee that a manager might be a therapist, a parental support, a specialist, or a technical SME that can also develop them. And then for the manager, I think they have different expectations that aren't often articulated of what they hope to see out of their employee. So I often see that these relationships are talking past each other. And until there's alignment of like really what that relationship and what the expectation should be, there's always tension. And so I'm hoping to level set. I think it should be different depending on the needs of the individual and the style of the manager, and what you're hoping to gain. But that misaligned expectation seems to be something that I see consistently when looking at relationships.
And one of the things that I try to do is to break down acronyms or industry jargon when I hear people use it. And you said a technical SME. I just want to make sure you were talking about a subject matter expert.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
Got it. So because there are so many different types of managers on this spectrum, what do you believe employees typically need on average? And with that, what do you believe they're typically looking for from a manager?
I think that with employees, every employee, and I feel very strongly about onboarding, that the first day that someone starts a new job or a new role, they are filled with such optimism and hope and excitement about what they can do in that position. And I think what they're looking for in a manager when they bring all that enthusiasm to a new position is for a manager to recognize that, to help them play to their strengths, identify strengths they didn't even know they had, and help them expand their impact beyond what they might have originally been hired to do without adversely impacting their discretionary life or their life outside of work, but instead using that to complement and to bring that in. I think people bring a lot of passions and a lot of diverse experience into every job. And it's the job of the manager to kind of be able to get to know and disarm the employee so that they can bring those strengths and those experiences to bear in whatever job they might be holding at the time.
The cliche saying goes, employees don't quit companies, they quit managers.
Yeah, yeah.
Where do you think most managers get it wrong today?
So I'll kind of appeal to some of the best managers I've had, where I think they do get it right. Because I think there's, you know, they say every family's dysfunctional in their own way. Isn't that a saying too?
Yep.
I feel like every manager, you know, is uniquely challenged in their own way. So when I think of some of the more positive aspects of a manager that is genuinely interested in getting to know the individual, their employee, beyond what they just deliver to the workplace. I think historically we've seen a lot of separation between, you know, work and home, and more than ever today, and especially during this pandemic, we're seeing the blurred lines of that, where there really isn't this compartmentalization, and it's unfair to really expect people to cut off and not bring some of their stuff from home or from their personal life into the workplace. So I think it is on the managers who take the time and genuine curiosity to get to know the employee for who they are is able to tap into a sense of loyalty, a sense of performance that the employee may not even be aware that they are that they're being challenged to provide or that they're being inspired to provide, really.
So we've now been talking about the current state. Mm-hmm. So I would like to transition into this ideal future state of department managers becoming employee coaches. What does an employee coach look like?
And I'm sure people have heard the term coach kind of being floated around. Executive coaches and life coaches, wellness coaches, everything's a coach at this point. And I think the idea of a coach, if people kind of appeal back to those childhood days when you had a coach on the field for some sport that you were either forced to play or really excited to play, and hopefully others were better at it than me. But in those coaching environments, you wanted a coach that was encouraging, that was seeing positives and calling them out. You know, someone gets the game ball at the end of the game. There's an effort of good game, that level of camaraderie that's supported, and sportsmanship that that is expected. And I feel like a coach is someone who has that experience from being on the field themselves and is able to create a team dynamic and foster an environment where someone can understand the rules of the game and know how to succeed, and can be reinforced when they do positive things, and get constructive coaching. So corrective behavior provided in real time when something isn't so going so well. So that's kind of how I think about the coach in this very, you know, nebulous kind of form at this time.
Got it. And that ideal state of an employee coach sounds awesome. Yeah. But if you were explaining it, I'm curious, in order to make this transformation happen successfully, does that mean that companies need to do a better job of training existing managers on how to have all of those skills and traits and have that mindset of a coach? Or do companies really need to do a better job of promoting people who already have those skills to be the coach? Because maybe we're just making people managers who shouldn't be managers in the first place.
I do think that there are, you know, there's a definite school of thought around this, around, you know, some people just aren't cut out to be managers. And I don't know if I believe that, but I do know that there's some people who don't want to be a manager, but don't see another avenue of promotion within their ambition aside from managerial. And so I think the organization, the organizational design community, I think we could, and even performance management, could come up with different ways to incentivize people who are really self-aware and acknowledge and understand that that's not a strength of theirs, and it isn't one that they're interested in building upon, to be a people manager and to oversee the performance and the responsibilities of others. And I think that's okay. I think what we've decided is that as an industry, it seems people have said that's not okay. Everyone has to be a manager if you want to ascend, you know, the corporate ladder. So that's one piece of it where I think we could change that that perception and that expectation and that pathway. But then for those who do feel a desire and have an aptitude for it, I don't think it's an inherent skill that you're born with, or even a socialized thing that you can't really shift later in life. I do think that you have the ability to coach and train for it, but people have to have a desire there. And I think the desire can be triggered because people can reflect on a great manager that brought out the best in them. And then I think a lot of people do want to pay that forward. I think that's a natural human instinct to want to pay that forward. So being able to tap into that is really key in trying to generate more people into this community that want to play the role of a coach.
To go back to the first thing you mentioned, get a little off topic, I find that really interesting in regards to figuring out how to promote individuals without making them a manager. My co-founder and CTO, Salas, he always says that he knows that there are going to be people on our product and engineering team that being a leader would be the last thing that they would want. I mean, they'd rather walk over broken glass than to be a manager. And so figuring out ways how to make them a senior, very specialized and over time well-compensated individual contributor is part of the path that we're exploring as well. But to get back to what you were saying, in order to make this actionable for the HR and people leaders listening to this, and I know at the beginning of this, I know you're saying that you're at the early stages of exploring it, but what would be the first step for anybody listening to try to make this happen? What should they do to kick off this transformation or even come up with a strategy for what they should do for this transition to happen, for their managers to become more of an employee coach?
Yeah, so a couple steps that I'm taking at my organization, where I am now at MetroStar, which where I've been since January, one of the first things I did was dive into, we use Bamboo HR, and I dove into the performance management assessments to see from a data-driven way of how are managers providing feedback in at least this documented, formalized way. It's a quarterly, they ask two multiple choice questions and two free response questions of what are they doing as well? What are they doing to improve? And I started diving into that to just kind of get a first glimpse of how do managers assess and articulate the performance of their staff and how are they giving feedback? Granted, it's just one viewpoint, one data point. But that was a starting point for me because I identified that some managers put one word in the free response. What is this person doing well? Everything. What could this person do to improve? Nothing. Well, that's not super helpful. So those were kind of the clues to me to dig a little further, to target additional intervention, because I know that that manager either, it could be a training problem. They don't actually understand the tool or how it's being used. So training or education, or it could be that they don't have good examples. You know, what did their manager provide to them as feedback? And if they're not getting really constructive feedback or specific feedback, naturally, they wouldn't be super inclined to do it to their staff. So kind of peeling back that onion a little bit more and more based on that initial data point was something that I did, or that I'm in the process of doing. And then interviewing employees. I think as an HR shop, it's good to have an idea of the experience of your employees across various tenures. We're really good about pulsing people when they first come in and surveying them, and really good about pulsing them and serving them when they're leaving. But a lot of people that are in that middle zone never really interact with HR in a conventional way, or in a consistent way. So something that I'm taking from an experience I had at Deloitte was scheduling, you know, randomized employee check-ins on a weekly basis for 15 minutes where I can interface with an employee across the organization. We have 300 employees, so it'll take me a while. I have set aside kind of office hours where I've scheduled these on a weekly basis, but the hope is that over the course of 6 months, I'll have hit most of the employees and I can glean a little bit more kind of qualitative or pulse on the organization beyond what we get just through our operational and experiential data points.
Thanks for that. That was really insightful. And then to end this interview, I would like to ask, for those that have been listening to every word and really find this to be interesting and want to try to figure out how to implement this into their company, how would they measure the success of this? And what should they expect for the difference to be once managers transfer to employee coaches? I mean, what's the ROI that they should be looking to receive?
Yeah, I think, you know, there's the conventional operational metrics that you would look at. You would expect to see higher retention, especially higher retention across certain teams and groups where you're seeing the desired behavior by coaches. You could also measure promotions or development. So how many, you know, even if they're not being retained in your office, how many people are you linked to their promotion? So you're kind of a multiplier effect there, or an amplifier in a way. So those are a couple operational metrics that come to mind. And then experiential survey data is great. I think both on the basis of the employee and on the basis of the manager. I think you could also look at some other operational ones of absenteeism, PTO use. Those are sometimes trickier, but somebody who wants to come to work comes to work, and the people who feel burnt out or are feeling like they're not, you know, playing to their strengths, you start to see that absenteeism or that disengagement start to uptick. So if you have, whether it be surveys or some of those other data points to look at, that should be a good indicator.
Thank you so much for being such an awesome podcast guest, Jennifer. I mean, you really touched on what I think a lot of people will find to be a very interesting topic, and I'm sure people will have a lot more questions and want to reach out to you about it. So thank you so much.
Woo! Jennifer!
So yeah. Where Thank can people Bruce. Find you and your company online?
Yes, so metrostarsystems.com is where you can find our company. We do provide IT solutions primarily across the federal government sector. So I can be found there on our leadership page. Also, you can find me on Twitter. My handle is my name, but then also my handle is Jenmeff, J-E-N-M-E-F-F. So I'd love to hear from people.
Got it. And we'll definitely include that info in the show notes. So if you enjoyed this interview, please leave us a 5-star rating to show that we're providing great content, because that's what we're all about here. Also, if you found this interview to be interesting, and this is the first time you came to our interview, or the first time you've listened to any Employee Cycle podcast interviews, but now you're hungry for more and you can't wait to learn from other smart and influential HR leaders in the community, then please subscribe to the Employee Cycle podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you listen to podcasts. And last but not least, all you HR and people leaders out there, please continue to hire, train, and retain the best workforce possible. Thanks. Later, kids.